Hello, and welcome to the Showrunner Training Series presented by the Animation Guild's Writers Craft Committee. I'm Jessie Juano. I'm a volunteer, and today I'm with Anna Hollingsworth. Now, Anna is an animation director, most recently on Unikitty and Fox's Cosmos. Currently, she's a supervising director on an unannounced Apple project, Apple TV project. So, hi, Anna.
Hi. So pleased to talk with you today.
Yeah, thanks for talking. Thanks for being here.
Of course.
Let's just start off. How did you get started in animation and what led to your current position?
Well, I think what got me interested in animation was the first time I saw Jurassic Park. Was a young little thing. And those creatures seemed so amazingly real to me when I watched it. And that led me to just like a fascination with 3D animation and, effects stuff. And for a while, I was studying 3D animation and sort of fell into more 2D animation like throughout my career. But I went to college in Georgia and they had a really cool program that was like, you can design your own major. So we would be able to combine 3D animation with like acting and even sculpture. And I did some stone carving, like got some pneumatic power tools and like got to go have fun with that.
That's so cool.
But that was just such an exciting way to, I mean, if you think about, the craft of animation, it sort of encompasses all those things. You have to be an actor, you have to be a sculptor, visual artist in a way. So I think doing that was such a fun thing. And then I moved out to California. I was like the classic little country gal, like packs up all her stuff and California or bust. Moved to the land where, Burbank, where I just heard on cartoons and stuff, Looney Tunes back in the day, like them talking about all these places that I actually now live in. So I think that answers the question.
Yeah, how did you get to where you currently are?
So when I moved out here, I was tinkering with like all my 3D stuff, getting my reel together, and I heard about this little interstitial show for Disney. I will be going. So I heard about this little interstitial show for Disney called The Shanna Show. They were making like a lot of there were a lot of small kind of mom and pop studios that were an awesome place to sort of learn and foster your continuing education. I worked at a place called One Red Room. Now it's called Oddbot. And Chris Hamilton was the lead of that studio. And he was really awesome at just like helping to train people up because I came in super green. like a lot of the people, and then learned a lot on that job and started working for other little Disney interstitial products through that small company. And I kind of bounced around from a bunch of those sort of mom and pop studios for a really long time before working at Warner Brothers and kind of bigger studios like that.
That's really cool. So talk us through like a typical work week on the job. Like what sort of things, what do things look like when everything's running smoothly?
Oh, is that even such a thing? I mean, as everybody knows, it's been different for the last year, so that's definitely adjusted the feel of the office environment, and having to adjust to working remotely has been with other artists. I'm not speaking for the focus that comes with having an actual office because that's pretty nice.
Sure.
And like right now on the other side of this camera is my bed. So that means that basically the boundaries between work life and home life are super eroded right now for a lot of people. So you can end up working a lot of hours. But to answer your original question, what is a work week look like when things are running smoothly. Generally, on this production I have right now, we'll have a morning meeting where we'll just like check in with our crew. I have like a crew of storyboarders, so I'll give them their assignments. Sometimes I'll try to prep that over the weekend so I can have them like really hit the ground running the next day. And then we'll check in and do like a Google chat if there's any questions about, you know, if they need a jumping off point on the boards or if they're addressing in notes, like to go over them and explain them and stuff. And then we have the team of the art director, you know, she's got a whole team of artists, and we basically just do a little review every day of everything that they've turned in and see the progress that they're making. And definitely have become really good friends with spreadsheets ever since I started doing, like switching over from animator to more directing roles. Mm-hmm. Because it's just super, being organized is the only way to stay on top of everything. And, you know, fortunately we have a great line producer and stuff that is able to assist with, you know, some of that minutia. But yeah, just trying to keep like a macro view over, like if you're working on an entire season of work, making sure that you're hitting your long-term deadlines while still you might get like a scene and you're like, these mouths are not moving properly. Like, and you go in, you know, roll up your sleeves and you're just moving things around incrementally, drawing new mouths or something, you know, it can be the biggest thing to the tiniest thing. So you kind of have to keep a macro and micro view at the same time. Okay.
Yeah. That's great. How does your role interact with the showrunner?
So I'll talk about Unikitty in that regard, because my role's a little bit different in this one. But, well, actually, for your purposes, it might be good to talk about this one. So we're lucky to have a showrunner who is pretty well-versed in animation. That doesn't mean that they're always super aware of what's going to be, like, they don't necessarily have the budget in mind when they're thinking of creative notes, nor should they necessarily. But it's also, you know, it's our job to sort of take the seed of that creative note and then try to come up with something that's maybe possibly a more economic solution that also checks that box. It's really great to have a showrunner who knows exactly what to ask for, knows what they want. I'm just so thankful that whenever I'm in a situation where you get notes and you're like, oh, this is exactly what I want. Because the toughest thing is when somebody comes and they're like, well, that's not it, but I don't know what is. Good luck. Which is often the case, you know? So it's great to have that kind of leadership when somebody is able to give like very clear notes.
Well, is there any examples you can think of or where things really go wrong? Are there any common problems that you find from inexperienced showrunners?
Yeah, definitely. I think maybe the biggest thing is, and this is something that almost can be addressed in the writing stages as well, but just not knowing if something you're asking for is like a big ask, or, you know, like if you want to show somebody spinning in a field, like slow motion and 360, that may seem like a really easy thing if you're not familiar with animation, but then, you know, these little things that sometimes might seem easy could be more difficult, and you could probably get your point across in different ways that, than you're able to. And I mean, I guess it depends on whether you're working for TV or for feature or something like that. Deadlines are always like so different. Timelines and schedules are set up so differently for those two. However, the quality is actually kind of merging somewhere in the middle now, it seems, because you know, what is a movie? What is TV? You're watching them all on the same thing. It's all streaming content. And a lot of this quality has been elevated for TV shows. And okay, I think I went off on a tangent. I may not be answering your question now.
No, but you're fine. Okay. Actually, I was going to ask, what could you explain just generally the difference between like an animation director and a supervising director?
Yeah, absolutely. So the animation director, really, they need to be checking in with the showrunner and with like their compositors and their art direction team. But they're just in control mainly of your, if you have a, the way they do it most of the time now, you have an overseas studio and then you'll have a team of possibly retake animators in-house if you're lucky. So you would be managing those people and kind of overseeing who gets what, you know, what notes and sort of helping them to figure out what to do. As well as when I was an animation director on Unikitty, it was, we made like, I mean, Patrick can tell you, we made like so many episodes in such a short amount of time. It was kind of nuts. And you just have to be focused on about five episodes at the same time that are all in different stages of progress. So when you're an animation director now, you probably are dealing with the overseas company. Mm-hmm. And that is a whole different sort of skill set of being able to communicate well with them the best way, like probably sending draw overs and having like meetings with them. Sometimes it depends where you're working with, like where who you're outsourcing to. But with, we were working with like a studio in the Philippines, and it was really helpful with us to like send a bunch of visual notes and then check in with them to make sure that like they would understand everything properly. And yeah, that was pretty much my day-to-day job, planning out a, like you get an episode and say, in this episode, all of their messy room is going to turn into like a waterfall of garbage cascading, you know, and then it's an ocean and then there's sailing on a sea of trash. Well, how are we going to address that? What are we going to do? So I would get together with the art director and say, what are you thinking visually this is going to look like? And I would meet with the comp team and say, okay, so we're thinking of perhaps doing like addressing this sea of garbage in this way, and you know, doing these keyframes, we want to bring some sort of like extra movement to it to make it look like it's actually water or something. So we would work with that comp team and figure things out. So it was great to be able to check in with everybody and communicate, and so you can get on the same page.
Cool. Do you have any sort of general advice for someone that's recently been put in charge of an animated show for the first time?
Let's see. Yes. Don't freak out. It's your first time. It'll be fine. I would say just, I think really making sure you're organized is going to go a long way, and as much pre-planning you can do on the front end is really helpful. Something we did that I found to be pretty helpful, if you can send, like if I was very fortunate to have showrunners that would bring me in early so I could sort of pre-plan and do some cycles and almost like establish a look for the animation before we sent tests over. And if you're able to do that, you can send an example, and then it makes what you get back so much better. Mm-hmm. And if you can send, say you have mouth charts or walk cycles or something that you're going to see again and again and again, well, you can fix it 1,000 times if it comes back wrong. But if you just send them, you know, like something that's going to be used once, if you're able to have the time to like build that up front, send it out, but it's going to come back right every time, you know? So I think it's almost like that old adage, like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Well, that kind of holds true for some of these things. If the more you can pre-plan things out, it really helps.
Yeah, that sounds like great advice. I think in every aspect of life, but definitely for animation as well. Do you have other anything else that's like a great example of a great showrunner you've worked for, something that stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been super lucky to work with showrunners that are pretty knowledgeable about animation in the past, often. And I think that when they have trust in you, that goes a really long way. Because I think it just brings out, like, if somebody is able to delegate something and see that you're able to accomplish it, you have a bit more pride of ownership over it. And oftentimes I think you're gonna like really swing for the fences. At least that's how I feel. If somebody like hands me a project and like, okay, let's see what you can do, impress me. Well, then I'm going to go for it, you know? So I think having showrunners that are able to relinquish that type A sort of thing that, I mean, I definitely fight myself, but if they're able to like relinquish a little bit of that and sort of see what somebody can rise to the level of, I think that is really helpful.
Well, great.